I will honor. We discussed that week number one. We explained that, you know, the Lord is speaking there. And he's saying, look, if you honor me, then I'll honor you. And we showed that, we've seen that over and over in the scriptures. That was the implication there, or the context of the scriptures was speaking about Samuel. And God was talking to Eli, and God was saying, you're not honoring me. And we see that they were dealt with lightly. And then we see also how later on the Bible says how God did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. That was week number one when we talked about how to honor. Sometimes children like to brag about their dads. I don't know if you were one of these, but I know I was a kid. When I was a kid, I thought my dad was the biggest and the strongest and the best, this and that. He carried a gun. I thought that was really cool as a police officer. He rode around in police cars. Most of them were unmarked, but he used to come home and play the siren and things like that. And I, you know, sometimes kids would say, my dad is the strongest. My dad's smartest. My dad is the bestest. Now, that's not really best English, but you know, that's what a kid might say about their dad. He said, the best dad in all the whole world. And when we think about our Heavenly Father, boy, we have so much to be grateful for and so much to honor. And, you know, the first week, and just a quick review for those that maybe not been here, or I always need reminders too. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how to honor. We looked at the example of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas versus Hannah and Samuel. And we saw honoring God involves presenting our best to the Lord. Honoring God means that I must keep him as the one I please, and honoring God involves an acceptance of life's challenges. We give this idea, this word honor means to respect, to value, and we kind of give this to give weight to just try to keep on keeping that theme long, how to give weight to. And we talked last week about God's word. So we saw how to honor, and then we came to the spot, what to honor. And I think we need to honor God's word. If people who do not honor God's word, like we looked last week in Adam and Eve's case, they will view God's word as negotiable. They'll view it as inconsequential. They'll view it as restraining. They'll view it as their way is the best way, but it will reap consequences. But then we also look in that passage of scripture later on in the Old Testament about people who honor God's word will forsake the way birthed by our own reasoning. And, you know, that's our own thinking. You know, the Bible says, you know, lean not to our own understanding. The Bible tells us that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. That our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. And we need to be careful that we're listening to God's word and we're giving weight to God's word, even giving more weight to God's word than our own personal feelings. We'll return to the word to establish our thought. We'll accept God's ways as the best ways. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I think it has one of the greatest prayers in all the Bible. And it looks at somebody praising and honoring God and honoring the Father. And I'd like to read the whole chapter. We're going to read through it quickly. David has a desire, well, not the whole chapter, but all the way to verse number 13. But we're going to look at verses 10 to 13, which is the prayer for the most part, looking about how to honor the Father. And 1 Chronicles chapter 29, to set the scene here, David is getting ready to die. This is, you know, the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the one who killed Goliath. This is the one who became that king after God's own heart. And David wanted to build the temple. It became a heart's desire. It became a passion for him. But God said, you have blood on your hands. We know about the sins with Uriah and the sins with Bathsheba. He says, nope, you're not going to do it. And David gets it ready for his son to do. Let's look here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 1 says, furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And you got to remember this, and when we do things, it's not for man. You know, they're saying this is a great work. The work is great. Why is the work great? It's because it's not for just another man. It's because it's for the Lord. And then David begins to describe here, and he is challenging the people about giving towards the temple. Now I prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the for things. Now I want you to see here, he is giving of his own personal things. He is a king here, but he is putting, you know, he's putting it, he's not just talking, he's talking about giving of his own things here. For things to be made of gold and for things of silver and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. You know, this is what he valued. This is what he wanted to honor, this house, because he wanted to honor his God. I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? You say, Pastor, it seems like David's bragging here. It seems like David's saying, look at all that I'm doing. But I think what David here is doing, and David's getting ready to die. David has been cherished by the nation of Israel since he was a teenager. And they have seen David go through those years when Saul was chasing after him, and how David behaved himself wisely in the palace, and how David behaved himself wisely. I mean, they saw him kill Goliath. They saw him take on the Philistines over and over. They saw this great man, and he was saying to this one last thing that I wanted to do. I want to build this house for God. I think this is important. I think this is honorable. I think this is something we should do. God told me no, but I want you to understand something. I'm not just telling you to give. I'm giving toward it also. Many times when we try to tread carefully, because, you know, the Bible talks not about the right hand knowing from the left hand and things like that. But there's many times when we have a project here at the church, I'll say, look, I think this is worthwhile. I think this is good. And sometimes I'll even say, this is something I'm going to give towards. And not telling you how much or what. I know David does here as an example of showing that he dipped into his own pockets. He did these things, and he's trying to teach him this is something that has value in his mind. But I want you to see how the people respond. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, that next phrase, offered willingly. David didn't have to say these things. They were willingly to going to give these things. And then begins talking about the things that are given. And gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Now look at this next phrase. Then the people rejoiced. And here's the thing. God wants you to be a cheerful giver. God doesn't want you to give begrudging. God doesn't want you to give just because you feel it like you have to. God wants you to give liberally. He wants you to give it to as unto the Lord. He wants you to be cheerful. And you say, well, if I have to give it, you know what? God's saying, don't give it. I know that's hard to say because, you know, we live by faith and we're living that thinking God's going to take care of us, and we believe that, and we need things, but at the same time, God says, look, if you don't want to give it, then don't do it. That's why this verse is saying here. He's saying, look, they rejoiced. They were excited. They got excited about giving an offering. I think that's wonderful. And he says, offered willingly. I am not asking for anything tonight, you know, financially wise. So don't get that. I'm just showing you here, they valued this. This is something they give weight to. They wanted to honor God by giving him a house that they thought was worthy of him. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Now, look at the next phrase. Because with perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So they get praise here. They get to the spot and they says, you know, David is excited. David has led these people all these years. He shows them. He says, this is really important to me. I'm getting ready to go off the scene here. Solomon is going to be your next king. We have built this. We get this house ready. We've given towards this. Now respond. And they respond. And then the David responds. But look how David responds. He's not praising the people. This is where the prayer comes in. One of the greatest prayers, I think, in all the Bible. The Bible says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. He does this. He's praising the Lord. Once again, what did Paul say? He was thankful when the Philippians came and met his need again. But who did he give praise to? He gave praise to God for that. And when God lays something on your heart to do something special for someone else, we should give praise to God for that. It says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as heaven, as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I mean, just a fantastic prayer there. I think it's, I love, it pretty much covers everything. David is getting ready to die here. He is still praising the Lord. He is still having this testimony in front of the people. And when I come to this spot, we talked about how to honor people or how to honor God. We talked about what to honor God. And here's why. Tonight's going to be more about the why we honor God. And we're just going to spend a little bit of time thinking about this. And one of the greatest things I'd come up with, and as I was reading and studying, I came across, is I love the fact that he's my father. It's you see here in the Old Testament, that's not found that much. You go through here and you look through here, you don't see them talking about that father-son relationship. Except you see here in David, he says here in verse number 10, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father. And it's, you know, in the Old Testament, God is revealed. He's revealed through his names especially. He's revealed as a creator when he told us to call him Elohim. He's revealed as the God of covenant when he revealed himself as Jehovah. He's revealed as Lord when his name was Adonai. The Almighty when his name was El. The gracious giver when it was El Shaddai. The Lord who provides for us when he was Jehovah Jireh. Our banner is Jehovah Nissa. The Lord of our peace when it's Jehovah Shalom. He shows himself all throughout the Old Testament. But when we get to the New Testament, it's a different thought process there. And David calls him here, and that's the reason why I was drawn to this passage of scripture. You know, our Father, it made me start thinking, we need to honor our Father in our Sunday school class. And I've been enjoying our parenting class on Sunday mornings. I don't know if the people who are attending have been enjoying it, but I've been enjoying it. And this past week was respect should be expected. And talking about how God has given a parent a responsibility to expect respect. Because the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Honor thy father and mother. You know, that's something that a parent should expect from their child. And I began thinking, you know, if we're supposed to honor our fathers and mothers, and there's even a passage of scripture that talks about in Hebrews that we respect them, but do we respect God? And so I thought this week, let's honor our father. And I thought about some of the reasons why we should honor the father. First of all, I just love this thought about him being the father, him being my father. You know, in Matthew 6:9, when they were telling us to pray, it says, our father, which art in heaven. You know, that's fantastic. I mean, that's great. He is our father. He is in heaven. He is different than our earthly fathers, our earthly dads. I have a earthly dad. It is Downer Dwayne Pease. Isn't Downer? That's a horrible name. So Downer Dwayne Pease, that was a family name that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And my dad said, I can't give it to my sons. It's too bad. My younger brother comes along the Ryan way and he named him Downer. He says, I wanted, you know, it's the last one. He came towards the end. He named him Downer. And obviously Junior's mentally handicapped. He can't have children. So I tried to tell my wife, you know, I need to carry on the tradition and name one of my sons Downard, and it didn't work. So I like to honor my father. My father there's a lot of things that, my dad, you know, we use in illustrations and things like that. And I don't want to ever think my dad, I don't love him I began thinking about some of the ways I honor my father. He was a very hardworking man. There's never a day in my life where I didn't think my dad loved me. I knew it. I know he had different ways of showing it than maybe the ways I show it to my son. But I know my dad loved me. My dad always pushed me to do what was best. If I got a 99 in school, the question was, why didn't you get 100? You know, he always pushed me to just, you know, and you know what? I'm very thankful for my dad. And I like honoring my dad. I like, just talking about my dad. But I think about my heavenly father and I begin thinking, Do I really honor him? Do I give him weight? Do I give him respect? Do I reverence him? Do I value him? Because that's what this honor is valuing. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We are the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even Jesus, when he first came, what was the first words that Jesus ever said? That we have recorded, at least. He says, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Philip even said to him, show us the Father, and suffices us. Jesus is the one that talked about this. Jesus is the one that said he is our Father that is in heaven, and that representation and the relationship we can have. Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. David here could not contain himself with the praise and honor of God, and he starts off by saying, you are the Father of this nation. And I think even when we get to the New Testament, we realize it's not just of that nation. It's to every individual that calls upon his name. He is our Father. And so here's some reasons why I think we should honor him. And these are just some thoughts there where you can walk away saying, I should value God. There's no reason not to value God. But it's good to remind ourselves of things. First thing is because my Father is almighty. My Father is almighty. And this is the last time we're going to stand in this passage of Scripture. But look what it says in verse number 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. He is great. And the power. I mean, there is no one stronger. And the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. See, David is not praising the people here for giving back, because David knows that in the beginning was God. It all belongs to God. It's God's anyway. It's in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You know, it's his. Thine is the kingdom. I'm reminded that when you look at that model prayer, it talks about the kingdom and thy will be done. O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And, you know, that's where honor, that's that position of honor. But I think we should honor him because he is almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. What kind of almighty father do we have? Well, you think about some of the displays he has. He displayed his unlimited, limitless imagination and his power in creation. I think it's cool when it says in Genesis 1:16b, he made the stars also. He did all these things, and it says, it's an afterthought. He made the stars also. And you know how many stars there are. He showed his power to the old prophet when he prayed a short prayer of 63 words and fire came down from heaven. Baal couldn't do that. He showed his power when he parted the Red Sea. He cannot get tired. When he uses and bestows his power, he loses none. He never needs to be refreshed or renewed. He never needs a vacation. He never tires. He's never tired of his needy children. He never wearies of his responsibility. He is God and he is our Father. And he is powerful. You know, you think about it. At creation, the power shown. He's almighty. You think about manna from heaven. He fed those people for how long? Think about how he told the leper to dip in the Jordan River. He told the lame to walk, the blind to see. He raised the dead, caused the deaf to hear. He fed all those people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But his power is like the widow who poured the oil into the pot and kept on coming and kept on coming. That's God's power. He is almighty and he deserves to be honored because he created us. When you go, you know, honoring the Father, you go to the part, he created us, creator. He deserves our honor for that. But what this means for us is he deserves us because he's our Father too. He can handle everything in our lives. You think about it. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that the Almighty Father cannot handle in your life. Whether it be sickness or finances, marriage problems, habitual sins. There's nothing in the history of all mankind that God cannot handle. And we need to honor him like that. We need to respect him like that. Next thing, and it becomes a little bit more personal, and when we think about it, my Father, because my Father is long-suffering. Before church, I don't even remember who it was that we were talking to. It might have been Mr. Idlet. We were talking in the bathroom. We were talking about being thankful. We were talking about having a good day and this and that. And we were talking about God and how good God was. And one of the things I think he said, or I say, is that he was long-suffering or he was patient. I don't know about you, but I am thankful that God is patient with us. I mean, you think about it. All the times we've messed up, all the times we have just miserably failed him, we reverted to our old fleshly ways, and he doesn't just throw us away. He doesn't. I'm thankful for his long suffering. You know, the Bible even says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. You know, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The admonition of the Lord. But thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous and mercy and truth. And I think about it, he's long-suffering to us. How many of us got saved the first time we heard the gospel? Probably most of us did not. I know that as a, I went to church, I'll tell you, 9 months before I was born. And then it wasn't until I was 9 years old after I'd heard sermon after sermon, message after message. But it wasn't until that night that I received Christ. And some of you have the testimony of 20, 30 years. And the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering to us, Lord. Thankful for his patience. You know, he was long-suffering when Adam and Eve, like we talked about last week, they messed up. He could have threw them away and said, let's create a new man. Let's create a new woman. He still loved Israel, even when Israel rejected him with other gods. Abraham and Sarah especially, laughed at him about having a child. God still loved him. You know, it's amazing that the Bible says in Isaiah 65:2, I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. God's still willing to help us. How often have we desired to help someone who did not want to get help? I know about you. It's frustrating sometimes. You invest, you put time in, you're trying to help somebody, and you see what they need to do. They know what they need to do, and they say, nope, not going to do it. Don't want it. Leave me alone. Don't come back. Don't want to have anything to do with you again. You know, how does that feel? Imagine that's sometimes what we do with God. When we know what we're supposed to do, and we know we need to help, God still loves us and still willing to help us. I think it's amazing that we do not have to rely upon our faithfulness. We can rely upon God's faithfulness. Because if it was upon us and upon us being faithful and us doing these things, and God says, okay, I'm going to keep on loving you until you stop being faithful, man, he would stop loving us. But no, it's upon God is the one that is faithful, is that he that calleth you, who also will do it. But the Lord is faithful, who establish you and keep you from evil. And those verses are in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. It's the idea that I think we need to honor him because of the fact that he's long-suffering. He's patient with us. He is kind. Another thing I think we honor him for, and I think this is maybe one of my favorites, is because he's honorable. You know, sometimes we like to honor people that just because we think we like the relationship we have with them. We think, they're a good friend because they're a family member. We've all probably been to funeral services where we heard people get up and honor people and use like, that's not the guy I knew. And, you know, they're not telling the truth about him. And we chuckle and smile. And, I don't know what to tell you about that. I do my best to be honest as I can at a funeral. But there is nothing, and I mean nothing, dishonorable about God. Nothing dishonorable about my Father. Nothing, and I mean nothing, that we have to be ashamed of, or we have to feel sorry for, or that we have to apologize to, because our God, he's the creator. The Bible says, Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I love that. He says, you know what? God, you got to do what you got to do. The judge of all the earth, he is going to do right. Does this mean he's never merciful? No, of course he is. It means that he is merciful and just and righteous and consistent. And, you know, he is honorable because he is just and because he is righteous and because he is holy. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that is dishonorable about God. He deserves our honor because he created us. He deserves our honor because he is patient with us and he is kind with us and he is long-suffering. But there's nothing to be dishonorable about. He is honorable in every way, in every shape. It talks about, it says, but as he which have called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You know, this is God. He's got mercy, but he also has truth. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. There is nothing dishonorable about your God. You should never have to feel like you have to apologize because you serve a God. Because he is always just, he is always righteous, and he is always holy. Now, we don't always understand it. We get mixed up sometimes. And we have bad days at times. We begin to question his love and begin to question his goodness. And that's why it's good to hear messages like this and read the Bible and understand he is righteous. He is holy. Now, his mercy and truth mixed together. Think about it. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's his righteousness. That's his justice. You have sin in your life. That is death. You are lost and you're dying and going to hell. His mercy is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God cannot just let all men into heaven because their sin must be dealt with. If he did that, he would not be just. He would not be righteous. Justice is sin that must be paid for. Mercy is the fact that Christ died for us. Next one, I think he deserves our honor. We should value him and the weight should be there. It's because my Father loves me. It's because he has a love for us. You know, we forget this sometimes. We take this for granted sometimes. We talk about the word honor here, that we're talking about it having value in our lives, it meaning something to us. And if we remember the fact that he's all-powerful, he's a creator, he's almighty, remember the fact that he's long-suffering, remember the fact that he's honorable, but, you know, he loves us. We should want to value him for that. We should want to respect him for that. We should want to reverence him for that. There's many of us who honor people who love us that sometimes might not do honorable things. That's not God. But one of the reasons why we should respect, give weight to, listen to is because of his love. Think about it for a few minutes. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You know, some may say, where is God's love when I'm going through storms of life? And one of the messages is going to be honoring God during the trials of life. But we remember that God loves us. Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, it's amazing when we're going through things, God is sometimes brings the storms into our lives to help us understand truths. In one sense, you could say that God loves us too much to keep us from the storms. And because he loves us, he will not leave us in the storms. We need God's help. We need God's guidance. And sometimes we need to be able to be taught and trained and prepared for future use. But sometimes we need to be brought back to our place and say, this trial was because there's something I need to change. It was because of God's love that he led those people out in the wilderness and into the promised land. If he didn't love them, he just would have given up on them. But he didn't leave them out there. Even when they went through and they did wrong and God had to get rid of the majority of them, he still cared for them and loved them. And it's amazing God's love. I read an illustration that I thought was kind of neat. Thought you might enjoy, and we'll close with this. Years ago, a naval officer and his wife were at sea during a raging storm. Seeing the frantic look in her eyes, the experienced seaman tried unsuccessfully to subdue her fears. When she grabbed his arm and cried, "How can you be so calm in such a storm?" He did something surprisingly. He drew his sword and aimed it at his wife. He asked her the question, "Are you afraid?" Without hesitation, she answered, "Of course not." He said, "Why not?" She says, "Because I know the sword is in the hand of my husband, and he loves me too much to hurt me." The man replied, "Remember, I too know whom I have believed. And he is the one who holds the winds in his fists and the waters in the hollow of his hand." He didn't believe that God would hurt him either. One of the most well-known and most loved verses of all time helps us understand the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This evening, I think we need to learn to honor God. You say, I already honor God. Well, ask yourself a couple questions. How much do we value him with our time? I know we're busy. I know many people work many, many hours in the week and they're still faithful to church. That's honoring to God. The fact you're here tonight when you could have stayed home, that's a way of honoring God. It's showing that you reverence him and you respect his word. You respect his house. You want to hear his speaking of him. You know, it's not for me. It's for God. But what about the other parts of the week when no one's watching? What about when we're alone and we have the opportunity to spend time with God, or we had the opportunity not to? Do we value him more than a favorite TV show or a other relationships? Or remember what we learned about how do we honor him? We keep him first. We want to please him. We give him the best, and we accept the way he's made us in our lives. I think about honoring God, and I know I want to do more. I was asking the Lord tonight, even with my sermon and my message, afterwards, I was sitting and writing, and I was trying to pray before I come out here, and I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to honor you. I wish I would have spent more time, because there's more there. There's this, you know, you could talk about his grace. You can talk about his honor. He's honorable in so many ways. And I don't want to do something that's going to be dishonoring, that I don't think it's valuable. I want God to have value in my life. And I want him to be number one. Am I honoring God with my time, with my talents, with my treasures? He deserves it. Why? He's almighty. He created us. And because he's long-suffering. Because there's nothing dishonorable about him. But because he loves us too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of prayer and invitation.